Thank you. Thanks. That's awesome. You can be seated. Wow, what a beautiful presence in the house today. And it's open. Yeah. Oh, thank you. What a beautiful presence. I was just sitting in the presence there and just thank you, singers and musicians, who wait on the Lord to really lead us into that beautiful presence that we all get to, drink in, as Pastor Rob was saying. And I really feel God has given me a word for this morning. And I love to pray for people, so if you come for prayer, there will be opportunity for that. I want to get straight into the word. I want to say thank you again to Pastor Rob and Denise for believing in me and inviting me back. And yes, I feel like God sent me in undercover to adjust some doctrine, but anyway. No, we have great fun. A number of years ago, I lost my brother, Robbie, rather tragically, and he's with the Lord, I know, most definitely. But I love when I come here because it's like God has given me a special love for Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise, and I feel like I'm with my brother. I feel like I'm with Robbie. So I really appreciate you guys. And he was a very kind person, like Pastor Rob. And incredibly kind person. So it's a joy to be here and to see you all. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. And I feel like God's given me a word for the house, a word of revival. And I want us to turn in the Bible to where, which I believe is the greatest and most important decision that King David ever made. And I believe it's going to speak to us today. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel, and we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And Father, we just thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and it brings life. Thank you today, Lord, that you would lift our hearts, that you would change our hearts, and that you would put that new heart within us, Lord, to take us to a new level, and you would change our lives today through your word and through your love. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to be reading. It's quite a longish passage of scripture, but stick with me. We come to a time where David has just been made king, and the Philistines had come out against him, and so he has been installed as king. And the first thing he does is this action in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, one of the sons of Abinadab. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord, and all kinds of instruments, and harps, etc., cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to steady the ark of God, because the oxen had stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and the Lord struck him dead for his error. And he died by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the place Perez Uzzah, or the breach of the Lord. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Edom and all his household. Now it was told the king, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of the God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom with gladness. And so it was, bearing the ark, they would go 6 paces and sacrifice oxen and fatted sheep and another 6 paces, etc. Then David danced before the ark with all his might, wearing a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and trumpets and celebration. I believe God wants to release celebration into our hearts today. He wants to release that joy that we were singing about. And so just a bit of history here. Previously, when Prophet Samuel was a young boy, Israel had started to backslide, and they'd gotten right away from honoring God, and there were many idols that were now introduced. And so what happened was the Philistines came out against the people of Israel, and so they were losing in battle. They were being thousands were being killed, so they said, we've got a good idea. Let's go and get the ark. Let's take that into battle. And so the Bible says the Philistines heard that they had the ark. They had their God with them, because the Bible said in the Old Testament, the Lord would dwell in the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where they would go to worship him. And we know now in the New Testament that the presence of God, the glory of God, has been revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so here we see that they took the ark into battle, and all the Philistines cheered. No, all the Philistines got angry. The Israelites cheered. And the Philistines says, we're going to have to fight to the death. They've got their God with them. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that pulled down the walls of Jericho. But you see, sometimes we can treat God like the spare tire in our car. And we go along and we get a flat tire, so we get him out and fix this situation. But we put him back in the boot. And pretty much that's the way Israel was living. They had their idols. They thought, we're going to take you along like a good luck charm. And so when they went into battle, the Bible says that they were soundly beaten, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken into captivity, into the camp of the Philistines. It was a shocking day when they brought the news back to the priest Eli. He died, and it was a sad day that the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. But God can take care of himself anywhere. And they put him in their temple, right next to Dagon, the fish god. Now, I don't think God's speaking to anyone about the idol of fishing here today. Just joking. And but the Bible says in the morning, Dagon had fallen flat on his face. Next time they propped him up, Dagon was flat on his face, cut off his head and his hands. God can take care of himself anywhere. I was a young couple, I know, but previously she had backslidden quite badly, and she was actually in the nightclubs table dancing, which is pretty horrible. But she had been in between gigs witnessing to the bouncer, David, telling him about Jesus. Well, she was there dancing on a table one night, and the Holy Ghost fell on her right there in the nightclub. Right there, and she jumped down off the table, and she said to David, the bouncer, she said, I'm out of here, you coming? And they both left, and she gave her life back to Jesus Christ. He got saved, and I saw them a little while ago. They're married, they've got a new baby, and they're serving God passionately. God is going into those places as we pray. He's going into the pubs, he's going into the nightclubs, the drug dens, and he is turning things around. Amen? And so what happened was God began to strike the Philistines with rats, the bubonic plague, it says in the New King James. And then if that isn't bad enough, he gave them all hemorrhoids. He was probably pretty ticked off. And honestly, I know we're going to have a laugh, and if you need healing, God will heal that today. But it's the last straw. When they all got hemorrhoids. And so they said, we've got to get rid of this ark. So they made a new cart, and they put the ark on it. And they said, we're going to put these cows, these milking cows, to lead this ark. And if it just wanders off, we'll just know it's by accident. We've had rats, bubonic plague, and we've all got hemorrhoids. But if it goes towards Jerusalem, we'll know their God has been striking us. And so, of course, the cows took it right towards Jerusalem. The Bible says that it came towards Kiriath Jearim. All the men there cheered. But the Ark of God was covered by the mercy seat, which represents the sacrificial blood of Jesus. And 50,000 men lifted the lid and looked into the law and were struck dead. 50,000. Jesus delivered us from the power of the law. Amen. He is our mercy seat. And the Bible says that they were terrified, and so they took it in the house of Abinadab, and there it stayed more than 20 years. In fact, all the time of Saul's reign, he never once went after the ark. He never once went looking for the presence of God. Now, David has just been invested in his king, and the first thing he says, we are not going any further without the presence of God. We are not going any way past this point until we bring the ark of God back into the midst of what we're doing, into the center of what we're doing. I love that song, Jesus Be the Center of My Life. So this is where we pick it up. He's got 30,000 men. This is a big deal. He's celebrating. He's got musicians. He's got singers. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab. And his two sons, Uzzah and Ahio, are there. Uzzah means natural strength, and Ahio means friendly or popular. And the Bible says as that new cart is being whipped along, that they come to the threshing floor of Nacon. And I want to say this, God put a Holy Ghost speed bump right there. And the oxen stumbled, and the ark was wobbly, and it was going to fall. And Uzzah put out his hand to steady it. And the Bible says God struck him dead. And you might think that's a bit harsh, but you see, that ark had been in the house of Abinadab more than 20 years. They'd walked past it. They'd been familiar with it. Maybe they said, Dad, could you shift it? I can't see the TV. could you put it in the garage? What's that whopping big thing doing in our house? He'd been so familiar, walked past it, and that was the last straw. When he put out his hand over familiarity, and the Lord struck him dead. But the Bible says David was dismayed, and he's going, I want the ark. I want the presence of God. I want everything of God into our midst, into the center of what we're doing. And I don't know what else to do, because the last time he saw the ark move was on a Philistine cart, a new cart. And carts are made of boards and big wheels. And carts, a man-made cart's going to get there faster. Smooth ride. But you see, it never made it. It never made it. And God struck Uzzah dead there. And they're going, how do we come into this next season? How do we go forward? How do we get the presence of God in a greater way? And the Bible says that they were looking for somewhere to put the ark. And so they came to the house. Or actually, Obed-Edom was there. He was not a bigwig. He was not a leader of his tribe. He was pretty much a whosoever. But he put up his head and he said, could I have the ark of God? Could I have it at my place? Yeah, I know it's a killer box. there's a dead body at my feet right now. But could I have Yahweh? Could I have Yahweh come into my house? Could I have him in my house? So they took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in the house of Obed-Edom. The Bible speaks about what happened. And so they've got the Ark there in the, can we say, right in the center of the house. And let's pop that back there. And the wife says, could we put some photos of the kids on there? She says, don't touch the box. Don't dust the box. And so there it is. And so, Obed's in his bed, and he starts to hear, Obed, a bit like Samuel, Obed. And he felt this drawing to go out into the lounge, and this liquid love began to flow over him. And he began to sit, and he began to think, Yahweh. The part of the Red Sea, he's here, right here now in my home. Yahweh that's been leading Israel is in my home. And he's just this liquid love is coming over him. And this happened night after night, and then pretty soon there was a patter of feet, and then down comes one of Obed's sons, sits there. And next night, a couple of the other sons, and this goes on and on as Yahweh is in their home, the living God. And the Bible says that the house of Obed-Edom starts to get blessed. You see, they've probably been struggling through the pandemic and the floods. And, that everybody's gone through a tough time. And they were struggling financially, and they'd been wanting to have another baby, and they couldn't have another baby. And And I'm just ad-libbing here. And one of the kids had left home, and they'd had a struggle with their schooling, and one of their daughters, her marriage was in a bad way, and things weren't too well between Mrs. Obed-Edom and him. In fact, neighbours heard some harsh words coming out of the house. But what had started to happen was the house and everything he owned began to flourish. The chickens started laying lots of eggs. The cows were giving three times as much milk. There's a new car in the driveway. They're building an extension. Mrs. Obed is now pregnant. The son's got a scholarship to university. Obed just got a promotion, and he's now head of the company. And there is so much blessing, and there is so much that is happening to Obed-Edom. It's outstanding. And every one of his children are flourishing. His daughter's situation's turned around, and there is not fighting coming out. There's joy. There's laughter. There's people that are in the houses next door looking up the conspiracy theories on their phones and about the latest thing that is going forth. Did you know the Queen of England is a clone? They're all clones. And in fact, your DNA has been shifted. You're an alien now. You're not quite human. I know Christ lives in you, but you're not quite human. And they're looking up their conspiracy theories. They've got a little veggie patch out the back. Things are going to get really bad. And they've got cans in the back. I had a friend tell me I should be stocking up on cans. I said, look, if it gets that bad, do you think I'm going to be in the back room eating out of my cans while my neighbours are starving? We're Christians. And God's got a better plan than a veggie patch and a cupboard full of cans. They're there looking up their conspiracy theories, but they start to see the blessing on Obed. And in fact, there's music coming out of the house of Obed. There's singing. There's joy. In fact, Jesse, I can hear a song right now coming out of the house of Obed-Edom. There's a song coming out. Jesse? There's a song coming out right now, Jesse. How are we going there, Jesse? I don't want to sing it. Can we play it? No, we can't play it. Oh, okay. No worries. We did have a song. Praise the Lord. There's this singing, there's dancing, there's laughter, there's joy. And there had to be a lot because the word got back to the king. To get the attention of the king, to get the attention, it'd be like Bill Johnson ringing up Pastor Rob and saying, what's going on in MCF Mackay? It'd be like Wayne Alcorn saying, everybody's talking about what God's doing in the families in Mackay. It was a lot of goodness. It was a lot of blessing. It was outstanding. And I believe God wants to release an outstanding blessing over your house today. Amen? It's a picture of revival. And even as we were singing those songs about joy, I believe it was a foretaste. Well, you see, one night, Mrs. Obed gets up and she's there and Obed is sitting there in the presence of God. And There's a suitcase at the door. And she says, Obed, what's going on? What's going on? What's with the suitcase? And he said, well, David found out. He read in the Word that the ark cannot be carried on a cart. It has to be carried on poles on the shoulders of men and women, of consecrated priests. That's how the ark is to come. He's found out. And he's coming to take the ark. And I can't live without the presence of Yahweh. I can't live without the presence of Yahweh. So I'm going with it. And she says, well, you're not going to leave me here with all these kids. I'm coming too. And 1 Chronicles 9:38 says that 38 members of the household of Obed-Edom followed the ark and worked in the ministry of doorkeeping, around anything. I just got to be around Yahweh. I just got to be around the presence of God. 68 members of the household of Obed-Edom followed the ark. I want to say God's bringing family revival. He's bringing your kids back. He's turning your family around. In World War I, when the men that were fighters with Lawrence of Arabia, they came back for a rest into Paris, and they were staying in these ornate, beautiful hotels. They were desert men. They hadn't seen anything like that. And so what happened was, when it was time to go, they found the men, true story, in the bathroom. Some of them were unscrewing the taps and taking off the shower hoses, taking off the shower faucets. And they said, "What are you doing that for?" And they said, "We need this water back in the desert." And someone said, that's not where the water comes from. That's just a conduit. That's just it's just attached to where the water comes out. And I want to say this, we sometimes just collect taps. We sometimes just collect taps. And I love listening to Bill Johnson. I love listening to Joyce Meyer and Steve Furtick, but they're a tap. They went to the source, the well that Pastor Rob was talking about. They went to the source to bring you that. And I'm not suggesting we stop listening to those things, but God wants to speak to you directly. In the person of Jesus Christ. Hey, Pastor Rob, in the person of Jesus Christ. He wants to speak to you directly. It'd be like if, Pastor Wayne and Sue, was their anniversary, and they went out for dinner, and if Pastor Wayne said, you were a pastor down in Caboolture. I'm not sure what your function is here, but anyway, praise the Lord. I'm elevating everybody. All got titles. and if they went out to dinner and he was saying, "Well, Sue, I'd love to tell you how much I love you, but you know what? Who's the Bublé? What's his first name? Michael Bublé sings so much better. He says it so much better. So I'm just going to play the recording." No, Sue would say, "No. Just tell me in your own words, Wayne. Just tell me in your own words." And sometimes because we've got worship in the background, because we're listening to podcasts, we almost think like we've engaged with God and we are feeling his presence, but he wants your voice. He wants your song. He wants your sound. Amen? He wants you. Because you're meant to be and I'm meant to be the hose. And he's been working in your life and mine for the integrity of the hose to carry the glory, to be a conduit to the world, to be a fire hydrant of his grace and goodness. Amen? Praise God. Obed-Edom, God wants to release blessings today. You see, the man-made cart, the slick, fast, it was going faster than God. It never made it, but every six paces where they stopped and gave God their best. Every day, we sang it, every step, going towards freedom, going towards freedom, daily walking, daily relationship. He's not a microwave God. I had a dream once that I found a dead body in my microwave. And first of all, I thought God was warning me about my cooking. Jeff is very, thinks I'm very dodgy, because he'll go, "What about this milk?" "Oh, I go, oh, it's still okay. Don't worry about the date." He's chipping the milk out. "It's still okay. I can tell." He says, "You're going to kill me one day." Because he's not a microwave. He's a slow cooker. He doesn't do click and collect. He likes you to come in boldly to the throne room of grace to receive what he has for you. Can I have the musicians come? Because I believe God wants you to know he's out of the box and he's making house calls. And this revival is coming via your place. He's going to release blessings over your family. I feel like there's people that have faced a challenging time. But you're going to know the God of the overflow. The God that brings the favor even in unprecedented capacity into your life. This is a turnaround time. He's going to restore marriages. He's going to heal marriages. He's going to turn some things around in your children's life. Last time I was here, I was still believing for my youngest son, who had not been walking with the Lord since he was 15, and he's 41 or 40. I have to check today. Don't tell him that. But you know, he faced a crisis and he came home in much pressure and difficulty in his marriage. And he came in after 2 weeks and he said, "Mum, I just sat out in my truck tonight and gave my life back to Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. And God has healed that situation, healed his marriage. They're like on their second honeymoon. The children are, you know, flourishing in a Christian school, and God is blessing them. And you know, that was something that I had almost like a grief in my heart. I want to say, God's testimony is, no matter how far away your son or daughter is, no matter what has happened, God is releasing blessings today. Amen. Can we just stand right now? And I just want to say, if God's able to impact so much that it got the attention of the king, that's a whole lot of blessing God wants to release today. As they went on, and he actually established 36 years of non-stop praise and worship. In a tabernacle where the presence of God was open and everybody had access. And for those years, they never lost a battle. Those years, they walked in complete victory. It was Israel's amazing years. And if you want to read all of 1 Chronicles 16, as he set the singers in place and the psalm he wrote in such joy for God bringing him through everything. God's brought you through, and now he's going to bless you in an unprecedented measure. And I believe today, I want you just to lift your hands right now. Father, I thank you today that you are releasing the Obed-Edom blessing over this house. An unprecedented, outstanding blessing that will make the world say, "I'll have what he's having. I'll have what she's having. Where did this joy come from? Why are you so happy?" Father, we just thank you today. Right now, as your presence settles over every family, over every marriage, I feel like God's saying there are job promotions right now. He's opening up doors of employment. He's releasing favor over financial situations. There's someone is waiting for a house to sell that's going to sell very, very quickly. Hallelujah. There's someone else here, and you've had a difficulty with your son, just as I testified. God's releasing miracles. That's the power of a testimony. Whenever testimony is sent forth, it carries miracles of change in it. Blessings coming over family ones. Hallelujah. And I just want to speak a word of prophecy over Pastor Rob and Denise. And one of the ways you prophesy, that Nabi means to bubble up and bring forth. The Nataf anointing means to drip down and receive. That's what you can write down over some time. And I want to just read part of this word. For the Lord says, even the kingly authority that is over your lives, even as a father and a mother in the house with an apostolic anointing to raise up and train up and equip. For yes, this is a house of kingdom culture, and like the culture in a petri dish that is conducive to releasing miracle births. And I see like the culture of an IVF. And I feel like, first of all, there's an anointing here for women to fall pregnant. There's an anointing here for miracle births, breakthrough births. But also, when a petri dish is where they produce an embryo, sometimes for a difficult birth, a difficult time. And I feel like that there is a birthing anointing here. And the first thing he's birthing is the spirit of revival. There's a birthing of a spirit of revival. But this is not only a petri dish for a revival anointing. This is a nest for the young ones to spread their wings, and a gathering of like-minded hearts after God. And I see you, Pastor Rob, that he's saying a professor who understands the ingredients required to nurture the spirit of revival upon you both. And the Lord says, know this, you have created a space to know, a space to grow, and a space to go forth. And this is an incubator for revival. And I've put upon you a pioneering anointing, even for not only the generations that have even gone before, but the new generations and the generations that are coming up. But there are new frontiers, and I'm doing a work like an Esther church. The Esther's name means hidden, and there's been a hiddenness, but the Lord says, I'm bringing into visibility and bringing you forth for such a time as this. And even now it's a day of promotion, and in the transitioning, God says, many, many sons and daughters are coming forth, and all creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. This is going to be a house where the generations will flourish and grow. And the Lord says, son and daughter, you will see the travail of your soul and be so satisfied. And there'll be such a richness in your hearts. And you'll say, look what the Lord is doing. Look what the Lord is increasing. For I'm enlarging your borders. So lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Get ready. For even as the Obed-Edom heart makes room for the presence, I am making a new anointing flow over this place, says the Lord. Amen. I want to say right now, God's looking for Obed-Edoms. He's looking for those who would say, I want you to be front and center in my life. I'm looking, God says, for Obed-Edoms. Not the big names and the big wigs. Because that car was pretty slick. And you know what I love about this place is the richness of worship. And sometimes it's like three fast, too slow. And that's it. It's a McDonaldization of the church. You feel like saying, do you want fries with that? But I love the extravagance of Jesus being the center in this house. But if you want to make a new commitment, just wherever you are, I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward. You say, Lord, I want to be an Obed-Edom. Just slip up your hand today. Just slip up your hand. Lord, I thank you for these precious people. I'm slipping up my hand. I've got my hand up. I've got my feet and my other arm and everything else. Oh, God. Lord, today, as you see our hands raised, Lord, we want Yahweh. We want all of you. We don't want you in the back room or in the garage or the spare tire in the boot. You are the center of everything we do. And every day, six being the number of men, every day we want to give you our best. Every day we're offering our best. Every day we're looking to you. Every day we're walking with you, step by step. And Lord, you want to hear our voice raised in worship and praise. And I am releasing the Obed-Edom blessing, the Lord says, even over some of you that have not experienced much blessing. Some of you that have not experienced much rejoicing. For where the enemy stole your song, I'm releasing a double portion of joy. I'm releasing a double portion of gladness. And I'm pouring out the oil of joy and gladness, and I'm going to make you glad in proportion to the years you've walked through affliction. God says, these are your glad years. Your best years are before you. And I'm putting a new garment of praise around about you. And even the robe of royalty. You are a son. You are a daughter of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to just hand back to Pastor Rob. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor Phelan. That was an excellent message. Excellent. Get a grip of that, and you'll be able to see it again on YouTube. If you want to see it again, we also have it in audio format via our church app that you can listen to. Let's. You're going to pray for people this morning, okay? As have we done for many years. Pastor Phelan has been very generous in giving her time in prayer. There were some times we didn't get out of church till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon because she was still praying for people. But I invite you to come. for prayer this morning. Let this lady upon whom the Spirit of God rests, it's not just the prophetic word that she will impart to you, but it's what's in her heart that will touch you. And you ought to let that work in you so that you increase your desire for God, because He longs to meet that. But it's your choice of how much God you will have in your life. And I want you to have more and more of God in your life. And so we're going to open the altar for a prayer this morning. I do ask you to be patient, because it takes time. And as I said, Pastor Phelan will pray for people tonight as well. So if you don't come this morning, and come tonight. Or if you've already been prayed for by her, as some of you have, perhaps you'd allow others to come forward. You can hang back on the occasion. So let's just keep a good spirit in the house. It's important that we back what she's doing with faith. Therefore, let's if you're welcome to leave, we're going to dismiss the meeting. There's a tea and coffee available. But if you're going to do that, perhaps even you want to talk, maybe go into the foyer so you don't disturb what's happening at the front here. So let me just pray for you. If you're coming, bring your phone with you, and so you can record what she says, what she prays over you. Let me just pray this morning. Our Father, we look unto you for your great grace upon us in this time ahead of prayer. I pray that the Holy Spirit will let such an anointing rest on Pastor Phelan that she'll minister to people, not in the sense of just words, but something more than words, the spirit that goes with the word, that there be a rising tide of faith that comes. May you bless us, Father, dismiss us with your sense of love, that we can go forth and love others. We pray in Jesus' name.